Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being at church this morning. We are in the middle of a series that we really feel like God is going to do so many amazing things in our lives. It's a series called Rooted, and we began looking in Scripture the very first week that we were in this series about what does it mean to be rooted in Christ. For a tree, for a plant to have roots, it's these things that go down into the soil, and it draws in nutrients that it needs for that moment. It anchors it so that it can't be knocked over so easily. But then it grows so deep that it begins to take in resources that it doesn't even need yet, because it has no idea what it's going to need for the next stage of its life. And that's who we want to be as Christians. We want to be at a place to where when we come into worship, we spend time alone, ourselves, in quiet time with God, when we're searching Jesus, because the Bible tells us that Jesus is God's Word. Jesus is the Word made flesh. So we can't pursue Jesus and not pursue God's Word. We can't pursue God's Word and not find Jesus. So when we do pursue that, we spend our time studying, we invest ourselves, our energies and all that, that what we are taking in is good for whatever's going on right now. It's good to anchor us in our lives. We will be more stable. We will not. We won't be pushed over so easily. But we also have inside of us this great resource for things that we don't even know that are coming yet. Problems that we don't know that we'll face, we'll be already ready for. Last week, we talked about being rooted in the Word and how essential that is. I hope you had a chance this week to look at some of the stuff that we posted online, if you had it. There's some more stuff coming on being rooted in the Word this week, but we want to encourage you to take a chance to read through that stuff so you're really understanding what does it mean to be rooted in God's Word? What does it mean to pursue His Word? What questions do I ask? How do I need to have my mind right before I go into it? There's a lot of things in there that I want to encourage you to read through. Today, we're going to be looking at an idea of being gifted. Now, for me, when I look at other people and I see qualities in them that I don't feel like I have, I may say, okay, that person is gifted in that area. And we tend to assign kind of an area of giftedness. Maybe we can sit at home on a Sunday afternoon and watch professional sports and go, man, those guys are gifted. Those ladies are gifted in ways that I'm not. At work, you may have somebody that works the same position you do. Maybe their numbers are always better. Their communication is more smooth. And you look at them and say, you know what? They are just gifted in ways that I'm not. As a Jesus follower, as someone that is saved, the Bible specifically calls us gifted. We have gifts that have been put into us for a specific purpose. And it's not just a specific purpose, but they came from a great and amazing resource and a great direction. And that direction gives authority to it. But we also can have our minds even open up further of why these gifts even exist. And that's what we want to look at today, because I don't know about what your experience has been like in church, but mine over the years, when it comes to serving and using things that are either what I think or maybe my personality or talents or whatever that I may have, you walk into a lobby, you walk into a situation, and it's just sign-up list, right? Hey, well, here's a need, here's a program, here's a whatever, put your name down here and just start working. Be busy, be busy. I believe that Jesus is calling us to serve His church faithfully. But it's not busy work. For what God has put in you and is working out in you, He has something so unique designed, and He really wants to fit you and me into our place. So we want to spend some time talking about that, because after all, a lot of our even Christian life, if you've ever been in this emotion that I've been in before myself, we feel out of place, we feel disconnected, we don't feel like we're fully involved in what's going on. And one of the things that God gives us that's so unique towards that are these gifts that He puts inside of us. There's several passages that talk about this in the New Testament. The one that we're going to look at today, we're going to kind of mainly look in a range of passage that's going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to 14. We're not going to be reading all of it. We're not going to be going through every single verse, but we're going to primarily be pulling our scripture from that area. Because to begin to see yourself as gifted is not an egotistical point of view. It's simply a true point of view to realize what God has put in you and is working out from you. The first thing I want to do before we get started, there's a guy that has written several books along the lines of theology and just God thought, very wise gentleman, very scriptural based. And I want to read you a definition that he puts and he offers towards spiritual gifts. These gifts that are not just our own, but it's something that God uniquely is wanting to work out in us, okay? Here's a definition for you. A A spiritual gift is any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. Now, from that definition, we got to understand a couple of things. One is that these gifts are tied and anchored to the Holy Spirit. That makes some of us nervous because we don't really understand, how does this Holy Spirit work? See people to get really excited about him, then other people that kind of just ignore him. Like which side of this am I supposed to be on? But it's this Holy Spirit powered, but it's good for anything that you're involved in his church. Spiritual gifts aren't for what we do with the lost, in front of the lost. That's just that's our witness, that's our testimony. These are spiritual gifts that are supposed to be worked on and used inside the church. When it says it can be used for anything, I'll give you an example. There is no spiritual gift of handing out a bulletin. There is no spiritual gift of running a soundboard. But there are spiritual gifts that can be put to use by doing any single task that's available within the body of Christ. And that's what we are together this morning. We are the body of Christ. We're gathered together. On the screen right now is going to be a list. This is a basic list of the spiritual gifts that we see in Scripture. Now, if you're trying to write down everything that appears on one of these slides today, we're going to post these slides after the service because there'll be a lot of stuff to write down. Write down what God really highlights and kind of jumps to your mind, but then also you can take that stuff down later. Now, when you're looking at these gifts, you can look at some of these, and you could probably pick out some that you won't. Like, hey, I'll take that one. You'll find some that make you nervous. I don't know that I want to be in a service where people start doing that. Some of them you'll look at and go, you know what? There's people in my life that have just blessed me. And I'm seeing things, I'm seeing words up there and descriptions of gifts, and they've used those in my life, and it's helped me. This may not even be every spiritual gift that exists, but this is a culmination of lists that are in Scripture. We're going to talk about why all this depth is so important in a few minutes, but just kind of as a background, I wanted to put this up there. Now, there's some things that are not up there that you may go, oh, I thought that was a spiritual gift. I give you a good example. You don't see the word encouragement up there, right? I had a call from Jessica this week, and I'm just going to air her dirty laundry out in church, okay? That's how we do it. So she calls me this week, and you think about encouragement, because, you know, encouragement must be a gift, right? Now, actually, the Bible calls all of us to be encouragers, and I'm going to explain why this is obviously not a special gift that Jessica has. This week, she called me the other day, and she said, hey, I've got a box of candy that I need to drop off at the church. She said, are you there? I said, no, I'm actually out at lunch. I'm on my way back. In fact, if you just want to drop it off, I'll be there, and I'll get it, and I'll take it inside. She says, okay, well, it's heavy. I said, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Just drop it off. I'll take it inside. No problem. About 4 hours later, I'm going, hang on a second. She just said I couldn't move that box. It fell on me like hours later. I was like, what is her problem? Does she not know who she's talking about? I'm a grown man. I can move a box of candy. Like, I called her. I called you later, didn't I? I said, I am offended at your... I'm bringing this to you one-on-one as a Christian. You have made me mad. Because as a single woman, she's out here going, I'm just stopping by the church. I'll just toss it over the side like it's nothing. But now, Derek, you might struggle with this box because it's heavy. I mean, I got a little lie. I had to kick it through the door because it weighed obnoxiously much. But, I mean, I got it through the door is what I'm saying. That gift of encouragement may not exist, or at least we know that it does not exist inside Jessica. There are gifts, though, that we need to use that are designed. And I want to make sure that we know where they come from. I want to make sure we know what they're good for. Because we do have them. If you know that you're saved, if God's Spirit is in you, you know that you have accepted Christ, then you, I guarantee you, are like most of us, I'd include myself, we are probably operating at so far below Christian efficiency and what our gifts could be doing and what we could see the bride of Christ becoming. So number one, I want to talk about where we get these gifts from. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where I'm going to start reading. This is going to be the first. This is going to be where we get these gifts from. Verse 4 says this, now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God produces each gift in each person. Verse 11 says this, one and the same Spirit is active in all of these, distributing to each person as he wills. As he wills. I want you to read this statement, not out loud, but just to yourself. This will be on the screen. There are different gifts, but they come from the same Spirit of God. Why is this so important? reading that scripture, number one, we have to realize this, that the Spirit of God is going to be giving gifts to individual people as He wills. We don't get to choose. You say, man, I really wanted to be a leader. That may not be who God has called you to be. Or you may say, I don't want to be an organizer. I don't want to become that kind of person. Well, if God says, I need you to have the gift of administration, then that's the gift that He's going to put inside you, and it's going to work well when you start to serve Him. So, well, Derek, why are you even talking about us getting, surely we want all these gifts. We're going to talk about in a few minutes how our giftedness doesn't match our personalities. Our giftedness matches the needs that the body of Christ has that we're in. The Holy Spirit is at work. He knows what's needed, and He's doing it in the best way that it can be done. Knowing that they come from the Spirit of God also reminds us that there is authority with where that gift is coming from. I'll describe it to you like this. If you sat in my house for at least half an hour, at some point, there's a good likelihood you're going to see one of my three sons come by and probably shove one of the, come in contact in some way. They're three boys living in a tight space. It's a hard life. Well, if you saw that, what would you see? You would see one of these little boys, you would see him push the other one, and what would that one do? They wouldn't just absorb the contact and go, oh, I received that. No, they would get pushed, and then they would continue in that direction. Does that make sense? When it's saying that we have a spiritual gift that is empowered by the Holy Spirit, that means God is putting this into us. Almost like this spiritual push. We both receive it, but we also get sent in a direction. A spiritual gift is never meant to come into us just for us to absorb it and contain it and it live in us. It's supposed to be what is moving us in the direction that God wants us to go. It comes with authority, it comes with direction, and it comes with responsibility. It just doesn't match Scripture to theorize that God would do a work that didn't mean something. That would be like someone trying to argue, oh, well, my salvation doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Jesus Christ redeemed you. He gave His life for you. He set an eternity as an anchor for your soul. That doesn't mean something. It would be like trying to argue that. Oh, you know, He's given me something, but I don't, maybe I don't need to use it right now. Maybe I don't need to do it right now. It has a purpose. Still in chapter 12, I want to read verse 7. It says this, a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Verse 26 in chapter 14, still in 1 Corinthians, says this, what then, brothers and sisters, whenever you come together, each one has a hymn, a teaching, a revelation, another tongue, or an interpretation. Everything is to be done for building up. I want to read this statement to you, then I want to explain it. Spiritual gifts are given to each person in respect of the entire body of Christ. They are given to build up the body of Christ, which will result in common good. See, when God looks at us, He does not see Reedy Fork Community Church. He sees a location that followers of Jesus gather on a regular basis. And the purpose of everything we do with each other, please listen to this, because this is a foundational. If you're going to ever be part of a church, I'm going to say you got to accept it because this is what God says. The purpose of when we come together and we're active together is that we build up the body of Christ. That comes in the form of training, equipping, encouraging, all that stuff. A group of believers that comes in to just receive, and I've been in that place in my life. I've come into church and just said, give to me, sing to me, preach to me, serve me. You know what that's called? It's the same thing it's called lost or saved. It's called selfishness. That's a stage of a spiritual child. Children are selfish, right? I want that. Go through Target, Walmart. Go through any place near Christmas. And children all over the world will prove selfishness to you. I want that, I want that, I want that. Right? When we are given spiritual gifts, the purpose is for the building up of the body. It says here that God sees us as a group, as a body, as a church. But then it says, the body of Christ is a body. Then there's each person. the church isn't more important than the person. The person isn't more important than the church. God sees both. We need to see ourselves that way. I need to see my church family that I'm connected to, but I need to see, God, who am I and what are the gifts that you've put in me through the Holy Spirit to build up the body that is there. When you read that list, there are plenty of gifts. We're going to talk about why there's so many gifts, but there's plenty of gifts for us to take part in. What will result? Common good. It will result in a healthy, amazing experience of being the body of Christ. How amazing is that experience? Listen to this. Chapter 13, verse 8 says this. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For what we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. Back in chapter 1 in 1 Corinthians, it says this in verse 6 and 7. In this way, the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or in other words, you wait for the coming of Jesus Christ. How important is it that we have all these gifts? How important is it that we have all these gifts present and functioning and doing all this? The Bible says in this scripture, when all of these gifts come together, when the right people are teaching, when the right people are preaching, when the right people are serving, when the right people are doing administrative things, when the right people that have the heart to even give more are giving, when people are showing mercy to other people, those that can really show mercy are showing mercy, because for those of us that can't show mercy, we don't have that in us, then we're not hurting the church. When everything is going right, the Bible says here, it's referring to that as a partial view of what we're going to experience in the glory of heaven. You want to get a glimpse of what heaven is like? Use your spiritual gift now and see what God does for it. And he just says, hey, that's a fraction. I want to show you why. Would you put that list of spiritual gifts back up here? These are all these spiritual gifts that we see within the church. And there are people within this body of Christ, just like every body of Christ, that has these spiritual gifts. What do I mean by partial? I want you to think about this. Think about the church. Think about being part of the church. People at a high level have figured out what their gifts are, and they have engaged in those ministries that will allow them to do it. Think about how amazing that experience would be to be a part of that. How much we could see God do. But consider this. What do I mean by partial? This whole thing of apostleship, these people that have had this serious personal interaction, direct interaction with Jesus. You don't need a gift of apostleship because there aren't people that have seen and experienced Jesus and people that have not. In heaven, everybody sees Jesus. I don't stand in front of you and you don't stand in front of me. Paul doesn't get preferential treatment in heaven. We're side by side. And if I sing louder, I'll just stick out my tongue at him. I don't know what I'll do, right? Look at this, discernment, this idea that we have to, in our minds, take scripture and situations and make the right decision. And there's people that just have a gift of discernment. They can use the right scripture at the right time. My wife has this gift. You don't need discernment in heaven because every decision is right. You don't need the gift of healing in heaven because everything in eternity has been healed. No one needs anything. Who needs help in heaven? What do you need help with? Nothing. Knowledge? There will not be a need for anybody to be able to understand to a greater, deeper level than others to be able to explain it, because we all understand absolutely everything that is in the heart and the mind of God. Mercy. No one needs to step forward and be merciful to somebody because we already received every bit of grace and mercy that we could receive. In a perfect world, miracles are ordinary. Nobody needs a pastor. Nobody needs to be shepherded. Nobody needs to be guided in heaven. Because the ultimate pastor shepherd in Scripture is who? Jesus. And he's there. You don't need a pastor when the pastor's present. People like me gladly go, that's not my job. Because the perfect one is right there. We don't need prophecy because there's nothing we're waiting on. who can teach me anything? My eyes are completely open. This idea of a gift of tongues or languages, we all in one voice will understand everyone and everything, and it'll just be one cry to God in worship. Every spiritual gift that we've been given as part of our church experience, our church age, this period between when Jesus went to heaven and when Jesus comes back, it's just to help us understand what eternity is going to be like. It's to help us along this journey. You know, the Bible says that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion at the day of his coming. There is a place where we begin our relationship with God. There is a point where we get to heaven and eternity with him, but this in-between time, this life that we're living, we're supposed to be equipped for and trained for and built up for and encouraged into. And that doesn't happen by just one person. That happens with us all. It's an everybody thing. You ever had a service position at church that you grew to just hate it? I mean, you just despised it. You didn't want to do it. You got aggravated at everybody doing it. You know, many times that happens because somebody is doing something that they don't have the spiritual gift to do. They were willing to help, and out of their willingness to help, they got exhausted, and their gift was not matching their service, and they just don't like it. Now, sometimes it's sin. Sometimes it's a sin and a temptation struggle, and bitterness creeps in, and it's a spiritual battle. But sometimes it's literally the wrong fit. You know, we don't call plumbers to fix our engines. We don't call mechanics to do our taxes. We don't call a CPA to, you know, I don't know what you call a CPA for other than taxes. That's pretty much their thing. We try to call the right person for the right thing. But for some reason, we in church, we just say, we think we just have to beg people. We were never meant to be beggars in ministry. We were meant to be facilitators connecting people with their God-given gifts. Remember, Scripture is breathed out. This is empowered. This is poured out of the Holy Spirit. It's the same directive thing. There's a few, let me read this, and I'll be honest with you, I don't remember if I read this or not, so I'm going to go ahead and make sure I read it. Spiritual gifts not only equip the church for the time until Christ returns, they also give a foretaste of the age to come, is what we just went over there. There's three takeaways that I want to go over, because I don't have time, and it would be impossible in one sitting to go exhaustively through everything with spiritual gifts. It's funny to me because when you live in this area of the country, there are gifts that people at on their belief level, their wondering level, wonder, is this gift valid or is it not valid? Like, can we do this or not do this? Or the people that do this, are they right or are they wrong? Or am I right or wrong for not doing it or doing it? And we question so many things about spiritual gifts. If there's things that you genuinely have questions about, I would love to have those conversations with you, because studying through Scripture, Scripture is its own commentary. It tells us everything that we need to know about any gift that God would pour out through His Spirit on us. But there are three things that I want to make sure that we do all take away from this morning. The first is this. It's out of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12. It says, "See, also you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, seek to excel in building up the church." See, to the people that Paul was writing to in 1 Corinthians that we've been reading out of, these were a group of people who really struggled because culture was bombarding their church. They were having to figure out how do you divide the kingdom from culture. Other theories and philosophies wanted to pour in to just kind of neutralize the message of the gospel. But there were people who knew that they had gifts and they wanted gifts. And to this is what Paul said. He said, those of you that are zealous for spiritual gifts, seek to excel in the building up of the church. In other words, we need to learn that what gifts are most needed in the church we attend, and then pray that God would develop those in ourselves and others. Here's how this really jumps out to me in an odd way. When you have conversations, I have a lot of conversations with people that are looking for a church. And please listen to me through this, because I don't mean to make light of somebody looking for a church. I've gone through one major church switch in my adult life, and that was through pastoring from one church to the other, and it was one of the toughest things that I've done. Just you move yourself from a family to a family. That is a difficult and delicate transition. But when someone is looking for a church, I want to change the dynamic a little bit of this, okay? We want to turn the dynamic around on this a little bit. Many times we go into a church almost kind of shopping. Is this here? Is this here? Is this here? Is this here? If all my boxes are checked, then I have found my home. But here's what we tend to do when we're checking boxes. I'm a parent of three boys. Do they have a children's ministry? Is the children's ministry excellent? Is it completely polished? Is it perfect? Check. Well, hang on a second, though. The Bible just said that to God, I am a person. There is the body of Christ, but then there are the people. If I walk into a situation and I see an open spot, I see a need, I see a ministry that needs help, why as a Christian do I have a right automatically to just step away from that to go, that's not good enough for me, when maybe I am the exact size hole that is there and what I simply need to do is step into it and fill it? Does that make sense? Because we tend to do that. We tend to be church shoppers in America because we have that luxury. Do they have the music I like? Do they have the things I like? Do they have all the stuff that I like? When spiritual gifts, being part of the church, is simply what Scripture has already said. It's about building the body up. It's about working together. We never have been called to be people disconnected from the body of Christ. We've never been called to sit. There is no spiritual gift of sitting, just saying. There's not. There's no spiritual gift of waiting. There's no spiritual gift of enjoying being served. There is a spiritual gift of serving. So when we look at what our opportunities are, when we look at what the needs are, Scripture calls us. Paul says, look, pursue those gifts. Pray over those gifts. If those are needed, minister to the body that we're in. It's really kind of, you know, if I sit down and I talk to other pastors, everybody's talking about what's going on with their own church. And you know what I end up doing? Just finally tuning it all out. I celebrate what the gospel does everywhere. But I love what he's doing here. And I'm pouring my focus and my attention onto what he's doing here. I don't have time for what the needs are in every other church because I'm just called to fill whatever need this church has that I can be a part of. And that's how we're supposed to pursue that. The takeaway number two, this one's out of Romans. Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, it says this, according to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortations. Giving in generosity. Leading with diligence. Showing mercy with cheerfulness. Know your gift and use it. You may go, I don't know what half those gifts even mean. What's an exhort? Is that the sound people make when they laugh really hard? No. You say, I don't know what those all are. Spiritual gifts are about knowing them and then using them. Today as you leave, there are some printed copies that will be on a small table on the right side when you leave. You can also find downloads on our website. This week we want to give you an opportunity. Please, 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 if you've never really considered what is your spiritual gift, you can just pray over it and pursue different service opportunities. And yes, over time God will speak to you and he'll start to show you those things. You can study these gifts out in Scripture and God's Spirit will start to speak to you about that. But I like doing things when I can get a little bit of a jump start, right? I like a little bit of prime to that pump to get the engine started a little bit quicker. This is what this is meant for. There's a card in your bulletin if you got this. There's some extra one of these as you go out. There are two different spiritual inventory tests that we want to make available. One is from Lifeway. It's the same group that's got the store in Greensboro and Burlington. But Lifeway is a publisher, a ministry through the Southern Baptist Convention. We're part of that. This is available. This particular spiritual gift inventory really concentrates on spiritual gifts that deal with natural abilities. In other words, things that are commonly used to serve the body of Christ. The other one that's on here takes in both those natural gifts and ones that we would also call supernatural, those things that are more miraculous in their form. And that particular test is available. You can do that one completely online and get the results, or you can take the test. You may go, I don't want to take a test. I really want to fill all this stuff out. Do you want to serve the kingdom? I mean, I promise you, and I don't mean to be a smart, like I'm just saying, as your pastor, please, because here's where I want to change the dynamic of our church. We will always need volunteers. We'll need people to serve, and we'll always have to operate through sign-up lists. But I don't want you to be somebody who feels like you're doing busy work for God. I don't want you to just be the busy person that's just kind of trying to put some stuff together, or kind of like every once in a while you're like, oh, I feel guilty. I haven't done anything about church lately, so let me try to figure out something else I can do. I want you to be somebody who can know what God is doing inside of them and connect that with an opportunity here to build something up. You know what it's like when you finish a project? I joked about that last week about my statement with my father-in-law. That's why they made caulk, right? That's what we say about every project we do. Again, be part of something that's completing something and helping something. Not with a building, because that's not the church. With people. It's people doing ministry to people. A church's ministry, our gifts, are so much greater than what any pastor can ever do. It's not even fair to compare it. This card is just a way to simply put down the gifts that you score the highest in. Will your gifts always be the same? No, they'll probably change. Mine have over the years. Mine have many times. But this is the third takeaway that I really want you to think about going home. Ephesians 4:16, it says this, "For from him the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building itself in love by the proper working of each individual part." Those words, growth of the body, for building it up in love. That sounds like the church that I want to be a part of. When I was first volunteering in ministry, I was just trying to figure out what I was supposed to do. My mom was a servant's heart person. She just has the gift to help and serve, and she was always wanting to serve church, and I saw that growing up. See, I just interpreted it as my mom just always looks busy at church, so I just got to figure out how to get busy in my own life. But that's what I was trying to figure out. So it's you know, I'm trying to figure out what do I do? How do I do this? What do I sign up for? What do I do? And I was serving. I was doing some different stuff, but here's what happened. I had a pastor come to me, and he asked me to start a children's ministry. I had been involved in camp ministries and different stuff, but I was young. I was just getting married, and I was somebody who I knew to myself, I'm probably not the person that parents ought to leave their kids with. Not for a long period of time. But I was strongly encouraged. You ever been strongly encouraged in church? I was strongly encouraged to start that ministry. So for the first time, I began to see God use spiritual gifts in me. I didn't think I was a leader. In fact, I found out most of my life, my spiritual gifts that God's put in me are ones that are not, they don't fit my personality. They're actually opposite my personality. And I think for me, that's because God wants to remind me, this isn't you doing this, this is me. My personality, I'm an introvert. I promise you. He's like, no, there's no, I promise you. I don't want to search out conflict. I don't want to have hard conversations. I want it smooth and easy. But that's not the gifts that God's put in me and not the ones he's called me to use. So I see him working. I started this ministry, Wendy and I did together. We did different things because we had different spiritual gifts. And it started very, very, very small. But all of a sudden, it's like God just kept hitting the multiply button on the calculator in tons of different ways. And I, for the first time, was using gifts that God had given me, and I was, crazy thing was this. I had read the word before. I'd read what God wanted me to do, but all of a sudden, it was like he was speaking through a megaphone. Because it wasn't just God's word. The Holy Spirit was so active in what I was doing that it was just so much easier for me to hear from him. And I understood deeper, and I did more, and I saw more. That's what God is calling you to. This scripture, that it describes us when we use our gifts, and that's what's so funny to me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about us as a body. We say that word a lot, a body. Scripture doesn't mean that you're, you know, it's just good to get everybody's personalities in the room together. You know what happens if we just truly got all of our raw personalities together? Royal Rumble, that's what it's called. It's a wrestling term. That's what would happen. It would be absolute chaos if just all of our personalities came together. That verse there isn't talking about, that passage is not talking about our personalities coming together. The Bible does not separate who I am and my spiritual gifts. It's the same thing. I don't pull them apart. I don't go, that's not my gift because that's not my personality. Mm-mm. Who I am is who God is making me. So what gifts He put in me is who I am. I am those gifts. Those gifts are me. When it talks about us here as people in the church in Ephesians 4:16, it says that we're fit together, we're knit together, that we have these supporting ligaments. About the same time that I started that children's ministry, I was playing in a pickup basketball game outside of the guy's house. And there was a portion of time, and I don't know, you may not believe this about me, but if you've ever competed against me in anything, I have tried to win in whatever way that I need to win. I love competition. And my mouth really loved competition. And that game wasn't just basketball, you know, this team against this team. That game became my mouth against another guy's mouth. And all of a sudden, my mouth was still going, but he decided to put action to what he was saying. You know, when somebody ever says, well, I'll break you, I didn't know somebody might actually break you one day. He drove his knee into the side of my knee, and my leg went in an L shape. I tore my ACL from both ends and did a lot of other damage to my knee and everything, had to have surgery and all this stuff. And when I was doing rehab and when I was trying to build my knee up, I found out a lot about my knees. And the crazy thing is your knee, it's not this ball and socket that just kind of naturally fits and just kind of works. Ball and socket's easy. It's like it's holding itself in there. Your knee is bones coming together that don't match up. It's ligaments that connect it all. It's tendons that connect it all. It's like this merger of stuff. But this stuff is what we need to walk and to jump and to leap and to run and do all these things. And mine was in horrible shape. You know why I was in horrible shape? I had one ligament torn, missing. One. Everything wasn't shattered. One ligament. Do you understand that if one person in the body of Christ says, I'll be a part, but I'm going to push off from these spiritual gifts, I'm not going to serve in the gifted way that God calls me to, do you realize that fitted together and strong and built up stops being so much of who we're defined as? See, some of us think that we can fly under the radar as Christians, and we have failed to realize that God has not called a church to do something. The church will respond. People, persons, individuals. Stop, Derek, I'm not gifted. That's not who I'm not talented. I'm not asking you what your natural talents were from your DNA. I'm saying, what's your spiritual DNA? Because that spiritual DNA is what God has put in you. That's who He's created you to be. And to deny that DNA puts us at conflict in our spirit, in our joy, in everything. I don't ever want this to be a home where you got to beg somebody to serve. I don't want you to feel like you just come in, you attend church, and you receive. I want you to know what it's like to get the fullest view of heaven and eternity right now. Because the very thing that God has put inside you, He's allowed to develop and work out of you. And you understand what it is, and you know which ones it is. And you have opportunities there in front of you, and you take those, and you've been filled into that. And all of a sudden, as you hear God through this megaphone in life, and everything seems to be working on a different level than it was ever intended to be. And there is joy, and it just it's like indescribable what you're a part of. But it's always not for our glory, but for the glory of Christ. How do I know when this is bonus footage. How do I know when I'm using my spiritual gift? When Christ gets attention. Everything the Holy Spirit ever did pointed people to Jesus. Pointed them to the Word. Jesus, everything He did, points them to the Father. I don't want you to answer this question, but I just want to ask it. Do you feel gifted? My guess would be most of us on a Sunday morning between work and work and school and all that stuff, you're sitting there going, nah, it's not who I feel. I don't feel gifted. I don't feel like I have this unique, special, God-ordained talent, calling on my life. There's tons of things in Scripture that we just try to wrestle through and wade through that everybody's expected to do. Have you ever spent time trying to figure out specifically what nobody else on your row might be called to do, but you. What's the hole? What's the void within this church? Or maybe looking back at another church you've been at, what was the place? God in His infinite wisdom has that level of detailed plan. It's a pretty remarkable thought. It's a truth. Something to be rooted in. Because if we're rooted in just being busy, or if we're rooted in dodging the volunteer list, we're not rooted. We're not anchored. The church body, the connection that we need so bad, that if you've ever felt it, you know how important it is to you and to your life. It just, our roots get too short. One problem comes up in a church, boom, knocks us right out. It does. Being rooted in your gifts will actually surprise you in how rooted you'll be into one single body of Christ. It'll blow your mind. For some of us today, we don't feel rooted. We don't feel rooted in our gifts. We don't feel gifted at all. And it's probably because one of two things. Either number one, we're discouraged. And that's Satan's attack. He wants us to hurt. He wants us to be down. He wants our emotions to fall. He wants us to feel like we're really not usable. He wants us to be reminded of things that surely that erases, that cancels out my giftedness. And then God says, no. Satan, you're reading the wrong story again. It was valid at one time, but we discontinued that story. I rewrote that story. I wrote over that story. I erased that story. And if your discouragement makes you feel not gifted, if hurt or circumstances or sin in your life has caused that frustration, then while we worship and while we sing, I'd love for you to come up to the altar, this place up front. We just devote to say, God, let me kneel down. Let me reposture myself in a willing obedience motion to you to say, God, I want joy in my life. I want to be part of something greater than I've ever been. This can't continue on in just this ordinary way. Or maybe it's not that. Maybe you don't feel gifted because it's that relationship with Jesus that you need to begin. It's not the continuing work. It's the beginning of that work. And we share the gospel here. We love to share the good news of Jesus because all we bring to the party with God is sin. Sin and mistakes, and we can't even stop making them. And our list keeps getting longer, but God says, I want you so bad, I just can't have you and your sin. He didn't want us to die for our own sin, because then that would separate us as far away as it would have separated our sin. He says, I'll send someone to die for your sin. And that's His Son, Jesus Christ. Not as a punishment. Jesus wasn't punished. Jesus made a payment. The Holy Spirit is our down payment, our assurance that we're going to go to heaven. And that was made possible. That was paid for in what Jesus did. But He didn't say dead. Because God isn't into the death thing. He's into the life thing. When He came back to life in front of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, He was seen by, proven. He showed us that we can have new life in Him. The new life that He wants us to have would be defined as gifted and working through our giftedness. If you want to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ today, you're ready to believe in Him and you're ready to give your life to Him and confess Him as Lord. In other words, your life now is under His authority. You do what He says do. You do what He did. You obey. We want to celebrate that with you, but we want to help you get that started. So we ask you to come up or find me or somebody after the service to let somebody know that's the decision you're ready to make. But if you go, you know what, I know I'm saved and I don't really feel discouraged, then you know what? You're at a great time to take the next step into finding out now, God, what have you gifted me to do? It's not just what I'm doing, but what am I gifted to do? It's got power. It's got direction. It's got momentum. It's got purpose. It's the very vision, glimpse, foretaste of heaven itself. Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for your gifts and your mercy and your grace. God, thank you today that we've already had such a great time in your service. God, I don't even want to say great time. God, I want to thank you for the moments of worship that we had before this word was opened up to us. God, thank you that we can freely sing and worship and cry out to you. Lord, thank you that through this redeeming action, God, you have raised us up out of death and sin, and you have called us to a new life in you. God, thank you that your word, the gospel, continues to call us into new life, into giftedness, into, God, taking care of this thing called the church. You describe it, God, as the bride of Christ. God, help us to see what we're doing for the people that we're with every week. Help us to look at each other as the precious bride of Christ, that no groom would stand up front and let his bride be pushed around as she came down the aisle. No groom would stand there and willingly let his bride be shouted at or abused or neglected. He would want only the best, and he would want the best serving, and he would want the best things done for her. So God, all that we can do to give our best, we should give our best to the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the church, the people that we are around all the time. But God, you don't want us to just do that in a busy way. There's specific ways that you want us to do that. So God, help us to have that understanding out of your word. Help us to know that your word is serious about specific single things that you want us to do and how ways you want us to serve. And we need everybody. God, the reality is, in our service at 9 and our service now, there's not one single person that we can miss and still be as strong. God, if there's anybody in here who just doesn't feel like they have a purpose, they're just not important enough, then God, just minister into that heart, that emotion, that thought. God, if nothing else, just let them at least understand that's not what you're saying. We read what you said this morning, that you're working powerfully in each person. God, for somebody that may be in here that doesn't know Jesus and they haven't confessed him as Lord, they haven't followed him, they haven't begun a relationship, God, you haven't been able to begin one because their surrender hasn't happened. God, I pray their surrender, their release, their decision happens this morning. I pray that they're bold about connecting with us on that. God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for loving us so much that you put us as a group of people who have messed up personalities and difficult pasts. You put us together to have joy and to serve and be more perfected in our present, because all that you have in store for us. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Would you stand up as we worship, please?